Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Inspire Your Life podcast with me, your host, Aarti Ravikrishnan. I believe we find inspiration all around us, especially from the stories that we all have in us. My aim with the Inspire Your Life podcast is to bring some of those real stories to light, stories of my guests that resonate with you and me. It's by listening to these stories that we can be inspired and motivate ourselves to overcome, find a new path, and rise even higher than we thought possible. On the show today is Stefan van Wooydonk, one of the newer members of the Tasha 10 family, let me say, and founder of the Global Curiosity Institute. Today, we are going to be talking about launching your curiosity mindset, everyone. So Stefan is deeply passionate about the topic of curiosity, particularly when it comes to companies. He believes that curious individuals need curious environments to thrive, and that especially in times of turmoil, particularly when individuals and companies really need to spend that time to embrace that intentional curiosity. And I like that you say that, Stefan, intentional curiosity. So with the help of a number of diagnostics that he's designed, he creates different insights on what drives and what enables or even prevents individuals and organizations to show up curiously. Isn't that interesting, everyone? He consults global corporations and leadership teams towards building a stronger curiosity muscle, is what he calls it. He's a regular speaker around the world on the power of curiosity to benefit professionals, leaders, teams, and organizations. Not to mention, Stefan is the author of the best-selling book, The Workplace Curiosity Manifesto. Beyond all of this, Stefan is a father of four and has started a permaculture food forest. My goodness. Stefan, I am thrilled to have you share more with us on the podcast today. So welcome to the Inspire Your Life podcast.
Thanks, Aarti. It's you've setting me up a little bit for high expectations. I'm sitting on the tip of my chair.
My goodness. You've done so much. Oh my goodness, you've done so much. This is all you, not me. But Stefan, I was just giving everyone this high level sort of taste of what you are and who you're about. But actually, we want to get to know in a bit more detail what Stefan is all about, what makes up him. Share more with us, please.
I'm Belgian. Mm-hmm. I'm married still to the same partner from way back.
Uh-huh.
Still lovely together, I think. At least that's from my perspective. We have four kids together. He's 19. The oldest is 27 now.
Okay.
Three boys, one girl.
Mm-hmm.
I left Belgium when I was 19 to travel the world, and I spent 30 years in China, then a couple of years in Finland, a couple of years in Saudi, a couple of years in the UK, worked in Belgium, worked in Holland. So I traveled the world a little bit. India, where I would spend a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And my career is probably, if you're talking professionally, in my career you can kind of have three different episodes. The first episode was investment consulting, helping up in China in the 1990s when China was just opening up and many foreign companies wanted to do business in China and did not really know how to. And kind of I was then helping them in marketing entry strategies. And
okay.
It was really fun. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into the space of learning and development, also in China, when I was had the opportunities to set up a business school. And because in those days, a lot of you had more and more investments into China, and all the Chinese managers, they were very good in the traditional way of doing management. They had beautiful engineers, beautiful production. But when it came to general management, finance, human resources, etc., there was a lack because that was not what the country was doing before. Now different. So And then you had all these foreigners who had that knowledge but didn't know anything about China and where China was coming from.
Right, okay.
So education was the only way forward. And I had an opportunity to set up this business school. And from there on, I got interested in learning and development, developing people at scale. And then I joined Nokia and I went to Nokia headquarters to Finland, to Philips, and I was head of learning there. And I was and basically, I've been in that second stage of my career. I've been setting up global corporate universities, being head of learning. The title is kind of chief learning officer type.
Right, right.
Until about 4 years, when I was a chief learning officer of Cognizant, big organization, 300,000 people, so a lot of learning happening in the IT space.
Yes.
But I decided to move away from the corporate world and set up my own venture, the Global Curiosity Institute. And now the third part of professional business I'm in, and I'm doing research now on curiosity. I'm working with leaders. I'm doing baselining of curiosity. I'm inspiring people around curiosity. And I'm also helping organizations to activate curiosity as it leads to HR, to sales, to marketing, many areas. And it's fabulous to see how many companies seem to be ready for becoming more curious and to probably shed a little bit their 20th century mindset.
Yes.
Adopt a 21st century mindset for are hugely different for me. 20th century is all about scale and scope.
Yes.
The 21st century is all about ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And ideas, when you say ideas, automatically you also say curiosity, you say question, you say new answers, and you say new questions to the ones we've been.
Yes, yes. Wow. I mean, Stefan, thank you for painting that beautiful picture of sort of your trajectory as well, you know, into the different episodes of your life, and being in the third episode, as you're saying. And I'm curious, I'm using the word curious deliberately, but I'm curious to know how many more episodes there may be to come. But I think let's start at the basic, yeah, because you're talking about such interesting things around curiosity, but maybe help all of us, the listeners and myself, understand more about curiosity and a curious mindset. What does it mean from an organizational context?
It's a beautiful question, I think, Arti. The curiosity is one of those words that we use loosely, and we never stop and ask ourselves, what does it actually mean, and what is the opposite, and what are the boundaries, and what is happening really? Like so many other words in our language, yes. I've been focusing in heavily on curiosity. And when we come to a definition, for me, curiosity is the mindset to challenge the status quo, to discover, explore, and learn.
Mm.
So curiosity is all about, yeah, not being happy with what we have now, curious about something new, curious about the status quo, what we have, curious about the past. And that leads down to discovery, to exploration, and above all, also learning. Now, curiosity for me, if we go one step further, has a couple of really beautiful dimensions. Because when I think typically in our language, we use curiosity and intellectual curiosity in the same same concept, and that's very relevant, and that's beautiful. But I don't think curiosity stops there. Curiosity not only being inquisitive about stuff, but it's also being interested in the other. And I call that social curiosity or interpersonal curiosity.
Okay,
how interested am I? How am I curious about the people that I live with, the people that I work with, And already you start seeing that kind of intellectual curiosity leads at a corporate level to innovation, to creativity, to new products, markets, while interpersonal curiosity leads to better relationships and leads to empathy.
Right.
So that's the first extra dimension. And the second extra dimension is how interested, how curious am I about myself? And that's the area of self-awareness. That's the area of self-reflection. What are my superpowers? What are my beliefs, including my limiting beliefs? What are the narratives I keep telling myself, why I can or cannot do things? What are my biases? But also, what is my value? What is my purpose? And So it's really going deep. I think that's the more difficult one. This is the curiosity about self. We have two eyes to look at the world,
yes,
and at others, but we don't have really an eye on ourselves. And as Tasha, of course, we're both part of the same 10-year family. She says that about 90% of the people say they're self-aware, but only about 10% really are.
Mm.
And I'm 55 now, and that I've got 55 years of, let's call it, dusts on my soul. And that dust almost prevents me from really going down to the truth of who I really am, beyond the specs I've been giving myself over the years, beyond the stories that I've been telling myself, beyond the biases and limiting beliefs. So those three dimensions, and of course, there's much more to say about curiosity, but when it comes to the workplace, many companies are coming out to me and they're saying, in those words, 20th century was great for us, 21st century is different, we need to reinvent ourselves. COVID, same thing. In the same industry, some industries were hugely successful, while in that exactly same industry, some companies were barely surviving. And all this openness in when times are volatile, just staying with what you know or what you have in terms of services and products, means definition going backwards, because everything else is moving so fast. So how are we going to embrace that future, that novel thing, the things that are by definition unknown? Unknown things are always a bit scary, you know? We would rather be dealing with the things we know and the things that have proven themselves.
Yes. It all comes down eventually to that comfort zone, right? And pushing yourself out of that into the fear zone and beyond, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I like how you've sketched for us the beautiful dimensions that you've mentioned. Of course, as you said, there's many more. And I think I love the word superpower, right? Because you painted just before that a little bit of a view of where curiosity could take an organization towards. You said innovation and ideas, and we are in that century of ideas. Would you say curiosity is the superpower that we need right now to actually thrive in the world we're in?
I think it's definitely one of the keys.
Yeah.
It's also not strange that the World Economic Forum has coined curiosity as the key character trait of the 21st century. Because often it starts with curiosity. You know, curiosity about the world, about others, about yourself, that puts in motion many things that lead to relationship, to self-awareness, to resilience, but also something, that's why intentionality is so important.
Mm-hmm.
We're not only aware, but we're also willing to do something about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's an agitation almost, right? So the awareness, but the agitation towards action. Okay, I love that. I really love that. So share maybe with us then, from your own perspective, Stefan, with that curiosity lens, what has been some of your own experiences that stand out for you as a result?
Well, that's a beautiful question, and you're catching me by surprise a little bit, which is probably what you want to do anyway. I think that curiosity is hard for me to maintain at a high level. In the beginning, we're all curious. When we start something new, a new relationship, new job, new customer, we're all open and excited to get grips with this new reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, we are at grips with this new reality and we stop asking questions. And what I've learned is that I always need a new big project, something that's out of my comfort zone. And you mentioned that I'm already involved in permaculture and I'm now a part-time farmer. That's now my new venture.
Right.
Because it's allowing me to ask so many new questions or to feel that I'm again a complete novice.
Mm-hmm.
Space. A year ago, 2 years ago, I didn't know how to plant a stupid tree, you know? How wide the hole, how deep the hole, do I put fertilizer in before
I... What do you do? Yeah.
Tree. While at the same time, you want to care for this tree, not only because you paid for it financially, but also this is a living being that you want to care for, that you want to put in the ground for 10 or maybe even longer.
Yes.
So what do you do? So for me, that new project has been a lesson for me. And also the three dimensions of curiosity, mm-hmm. about the world, others and selves. Mm-hmm. Every day when I'm brushing my teeth in the morning, I'm trying to tell myself or encourage myself or prime myself, let me be a bit more curious about the world, mm-hmm. others and self. And in the evening, I kind of play that day film to myself again and I say, was I curious about the world, others, and self? And some days I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
Some days I'm doing not so okay. And I encourage myself, because you're talking about micro habits,
yes.
and I encourage myself to be a bit better on the next day. So curiosity is not this one single thing.
Yes.
And that's also the beauty of it, because it helps me to go deeper in myself, get deeper in others and relationship with and it's actually quite fun once you start playing with the idea. Like I'm trying to have sometimes I have these crazy weeks where I set myself this goal, every single conversation I want to get most out of.
Okay.
So I'm trying to have conversations with everybody, the cashier in the supermarket, and I'm trying to learn something from that brief encounter. How many customers he or she is seeing on an hourly basis, or how he or she deals with heavy stuff, you know, anything. Just going deep into the other person and being curious about his or her situation. And so much to be learned and so much.
I'd love to know what sort of response you get with that micro habit. Like, I mean, just, you know, being able to have this conversation with the cashier, for example, who probably is not expecting it in any shape or form, that somebody is actually wanting to know a little bit more. What is some of the feedback that you get from your sort of overtures around curiosity with others on that interpersonal level?
I've never had anybody who was frowning at me.
Okay.
Saying that this is weird. This is, you're stepping out of bounds or so. Mm-hmm. Everybody has, it's just genuine with me. And maybe it has to do with my how I bring it about. I don't kind of, I'm not coming across as being nosy. I'm just
interrogating your nose.
Showing that I'm interested. Oh, this is lovely what you're doing. And I'm bringing that notion with care and with kindness, I think.
Yes.
With the intention to learn, not with the intention to fix or to tell things better. And that people probably pick that up. And I feel that I've come as a better person. And often these people also, for however brief, also were learning or were knowing that somebody cared. And there's such a beautiful thing with questions that we can be asking people.
Yes.
And I'm not doing it enough myself, but I think there's one beautiful question and we can all ask ourselves, and is what can I do to be a better ...
Yes.
A better dad, a better family member, a better daughter, a better colleague, you know, a better boss. And in management, we call that kind of reverse feedback, where the manager's asking that reverse feedback. But we're all so afraid, I think, or we don't think it's necessary, or to be vulnerable for those couple of seconds and ask that question, how am I doing as your partner?
Yeah.
As your anything, really, and then leave it. And then hopefully, but the beauty is once we ask, we become stronger just by the sheer fact of asking and showing up in a vulnerable way.
Yes.
We learn something and the relationship becomes better because the other person will appreciate what we're doing.
Right. I always used to find that even when I was still in corporate as well. And, you know, often people become so disconnected from senior leaders specifically because they feel intimidated by their title. You know, the CEO of the company is in the room and we can't go talk to him or her. And, you know, I don't know whether it was my boldness or my stupidity, Stefan, but I would always make a point of going and talking to the most senior person in the room. With with a bit of awe from my colleagues who never used to see them as just they're person who's also looking for somebody to just come and talk to them beyond the titles. And there was a couple of incidents I still fondly remember where one of the senior execs was actually alone at that point in time. And I introduced myself and he actually, you know, after a little discussion, says, "Thank you for coming to talk to me. I don't often get people coming to talk to me in this manner." And it's exactly to your point, right? That we don't understand fully sometimes the impact that our little gesture of just being a little bit caring and asking a few questions and being present in the moment could impact someone and the rest of their day, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it took some courage on your part, some fearlessness just to do that and to step out of the mold, like, and to go up to the person while everybody else was just watching and hoping and not taking that action. I think it's also great for the manager, on the other hand.
Yeah.
He was welcoming you and he was opening up. And I see that in many cultures that managers, they often they think that they're supposed to know it all.
Right.
They're paid more money. They're for a reason. And they often don't allow questions, or they push it. They're more listening to kind of the difference between listening to learn versus listening to fix.
Yes.
And then the more they do that, the more people are hesitant in talking to them. And it doesn't have to be that way. Actually, research shows the opposite, that the more managers are saying, "I don't know, let's find out together," the more they get, the more their teams become productive, and the more they engagement there is, and the more respect those managers get.
Right, right. Absolutely.
But it's great you did that at the meetings.
And you know, it forms the basis of, I suppose, you know, for a lot of people, even confidence, right? Certainly in my coaching practice, and I'm sure you also find this when you're dealing with people, that sometimes that can become a barrier for action to be taken, because someone feels on the back foot, they feel they can't approach, and then things just don't get off the ground. So that is a little bit of a, I suppose, part of my own self-discovery in the process of growing and building up my own awareness, I suppose, in a way. Mm. Steve, but I do want to understand, though, perhaps what have been some of your biggest lessons? Because you spoke about, you know, you're 55, but there's a layer of dust that you're still trying to penetrate through. What have been some of your biggest lessons as you're still undergoing your own journey of discovery around curiosity?
It's one lesson already. Curiosity is not this simple thing. There's so many things to be discovered, and there's so little research being done on it that I get even more excited to do more. And finding out what are the barriers to curiosity, including my own barriers to curiosity. Why is it so easy to be curious in the beginning and over time it drops down or kind of we settle for this new reality?
Yes.
You know, there is an exception. Think about your habits or your passions, not your habits, passions or your hobbies.
Okay.
Your curiosity never goes down. It always goes up and up. And if your passion is your work, or if they're closely related, then the sky is the limit. These are the people that are going up, like yourself, going up to the senior leader and are fearless and are not afraid of asking questions. But I'm referring back to your question now. What have I learned? I think deep down I want to be a good person.
Mm.
And it's damn hard.
Mm.
Keep the focus on that and not to be swayed by other things.
Okay.
And I'm talking world, others, and self, and find the equal time to focus on myself and have enough me time and have good relationships and being really interested in what's happening in the world.
Yes.
It's hard, and it requires introspection. It requires meditation. It requires long showers. It requires a combination of working with the mind, but also working with the hands and with the body. That's why I like now in my project so much. Half the week I'm in my boots and with shuffles and what kind of green stuff.
Right.
Time of the week I'm I'm deeply in a cognitive space where leaders around, what is our culture all about? Are we inviting for curiosity? Are we very different? But lovely though. I like. What am I learning? I don't know. Do I make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, the biggest thing for me is, you know, it's continual work in progress. And I think what I like that you've mentioned, because this is something everyone tends to talk about now, is the level of busyness, right? There's no time for things all of a sudden, you know. And if you ask, sometimes if you just ask somebody, how are you doing? And they say, oh, I'm busy. You know, there's a lot going on. And one of the things about curiosity, as you've just said, is you actually need time to think in different ways, the long showers, going out into nature, whatever it is. So, you know, we're talking about launching that curiosity mindset, Stefan. In this world of busyness and being time poor that many people feel they are, what are some of the ways that you feel we can slowly start to reintroduce the time and the ability to become more curious again in the way in which we view the three dimensions, the world, ourselves, and each other?
That's great. You're absolutely right. I think that curiosity needs time and space to be curious. Often in meetings, I'm asking people, just show of hands, who reads more books when they're on holidays?
You're right.
In everyday weeks, when we're in a rat race of working and producing stuff and being efficient and everything, and always majority of hands go up when reading on holidays. And that's, I think that tells that people, curiosity needs a good environment. Curiosity needs time, needs space. And we need to create that time and space if we want to be better with the world, if we want to be better with others and self. Sometimes for me, a good reflection question for me is, when we're thinking about our own profession, is my rate of learning greater than the rate of change around me? Everybody can answer that, of course, for him or herself. And if your rate of learning is slower than the rate of change around me, just in my profession, then maybe I need to do something about it. I need to upgrade myself. I need to learn about the new stuff in whatever profession you're doing. And at the same, I can also have questions with others and self.
Okay.
Yeah. For instance, if curiosity about others, one question we could ask ourselves in my last meeting, in my last week, was I more curious or was I more judgmental? Because judgmental means kind of everything seeing from my perspective and not being what the other person is about. And curiosity of self could be, who am I when I really meet myself? Or who am I when I see my authentic self in the mirror without the dust of 55 years type of it?
Yes, well, I mean, I think all three, I mean, the questions that you've posed, they're deep reflective questions, actually, right? And starts to bring someone to the fore of, you know, am I in a closed space or in an open space to kind of think about this? And when I talk about space deliberately, I'm talking more from a mindset perspective. Yes. You know, we normally talk about fixed and growth mindsets and those types of things. But, you know, it's just, you know, the thing that you mentioned around that judgmental versus curiosity, sometimes it's just so much easier to fall back on our assumptions and biases than to be open to curiosity and what could potentially come from it. Yeah. It's that comfort zone again, isn't it?
Yeah, and absolutely. Back to your point about time and space.
Yeah.
We need to find times to reflect versus doing. Do we want to be in a rat race all the time, like these rabbits?
The hamster wheel, yeah.
doing all the time, or do we spend time thinking? And I was doing a program with a large group of Indian professionals, and I asked one question. I said, who does not have Facebook on their smartphone? And in hundreds of people, only a handful of people went up. And I congratulated them, but because I think we have so many opportunities to find time if we care, if we're intentional enough about it, if we want it enough. And there's never an excuse not to do it. And there's always an excuse if you're, like I do these master classes, and after the master class, I'm giving people daily tips and tricks. And one of those tips is, like, leave your smartphone at home today and see what happens. It's hard.
I can imagine the fear and panic.
Talking about, let's review the three questions that we just asked. The world, others, and self. For instance, is my rate of learning greater than the rate of change around me? Mm-hmm. If the answer is not positive, do you want to do something about it? And you have to create time, and to create time to learn something new. Everybody's talking about ChatGPT now.
Oh yeah.
How many people have actually downloaded it and logged on and tried it out?
Yeah.
And that's also curiosity. Just doing it and finding time to figure it out and ask a question like, yeah, ChatGPT, what do you think curiosity is all about? Or what do you think is any question, maybe?
Interesting. So, I mean, I guess everyone, to all our listeners, we're really talking about that ability to kind of stop in time and to almost give yourself that time, right? To get off the hamster wheel. And work through finding that time and space. Because the benefits, as Stefan has just mentioned, actually cascade into so many different levels, right? Mm. Love it. I love it, Stefan. I mean, I can keep talking to you about this, I think, all day, because this is at the crux of even the work that I do with my clients and peers. So it's beautiful to chat about. But I think as we're coming now to the end of our conversation, I'd really love it if you would share probably maybe the biggest or key, let's put it that way, key piece of advice that you would want to share with our listeners today, Stefan, about potentially what they could do as one tangible step to launch their own curiosity mindset, or at least continue on the journey
That's a great question. I think there's three things. First of all, and we can use even the word kind of May, the month of May, M-A-I. First of all, would be measure. Mm-hmm. And you can measure by maybe ask somebody, how curious am I? Was I more curious or was I more judgmental in the last meeting, in the last month, in the last year? Or you can use it at home with our 16-year-old daughter, or we can ask it to our bosses or to our subordinates or even our customers.
Yes.
Or we can do a questionnaire. I can go to my website, globalcuriosityinstitute.com, and you can do diagnostics free of charge. About how curious am I about the world. So that's measurement is important. Right. And then awareness. The more we become aware of curiosity and we haven't even spoken about the opposite of curiosity, conform, the more, or just already when we're starting about the world, others and self, I'm sure that our listeners are starting to think, oh, am I more curious about the world? Or maybe more curious about self and less about others? Am I more curious at work versus at home, et cetera, et cetera? So the more we become aware, the more this curiosity becomes abundant because we're focusing our gaze, our focus on this dimension. And then the third dimension, I, stands for intentionality. What are we going to do with it? Are we checking our blind spots? Are we starting to learn something new? Are we creating routines? I know a beautiful person who has Curious Thursdays, and on Thursday meeting people in the weirdest positive places. People in a park or in a museum, or she does crazy things on Thursday. She goes to pottery class, or and she allows.
Sounds fun, actually.
Actually, allows herself for 6 days a week to be more just doing the things that everybody's doing, and for one day, she's giving herself permission to be curious. Or another intentional thing could be: next time you're in a bookstore, buy the book next to the book you want to buy. Let's say in the
book. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to try that because I'm a big bookworm.
Or go in the bookstore blind and then point your finger around and go.
Yeah, and stop it, go.
And maybe you learn something about something that you've never learned about. And maybe you explore and you go not deep in your own area, that you've always been doing, but you go abroad somehow. So measurement, awareness, and intentionality. If you work around those three things, things are bound to get better. And maybe last suggestion.
Uh-huh.
Every morning when you start your day, whenever that is, put your clock on 4 minutes and write 4 minutes of questions. And I guarantee you all questions will be around the world, others, and self. There's no other questions.
Okay.
You don't even have to look for the answers to those questions because your subconscious will you'll put by the sheer fact of writing down those questions, you'll put your subconscious in motion.
Yes.
To find answers to those questions. And just do that every day, 4 minutes. And the questions will become deeper and deeper and more beautiful and more authentic as you do that. And so I hope that gives you some inspiration.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I love that last bit about you're putting something out in the universe. And once you put it out there, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, everybody, what comes back. The answers do come back. Stefan, it's been an absolute joy chatting with you today. Thank you so much for your time and for all of your nuggets of wisdom as well that you've shared with me and the listeners. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Arti.
Take care, Stefan. Bye. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode today. If you like what you heard, rate the episode and podcast, and feel free to write a review. Plus, of course, share with others too. I love talking around topics like these. So if you like my perspective or insight on a subject close to your heart, or something that you're grappling with, reach out to me in your comments or send me an email via my website or connect with me via LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. All my social media are on the podcast information. If it's important to you, then it's important to me. So happy listening to the Inspire Your Life podcast, and catch you soon on the next episode. Bye.